the drops to the ching, ching, ching of the cash. From the end, end, end of the friendships to the whack, whack, whack of the bash. Corruption, corruption, corruption rules my soul.
Welcome back to the cabin. This is Kirk Bankstead at the Up North Podcast, and obviously we had to play a little Iggy Pop Corruption for the next guest we're going to have here.
You know, for somebody that didn't want to pick out the music early on when we started the show, you've really started to hit your stride here. you may have this full time after next week. Next week we're doing Christmas tunes, but after that you got this full time. Hey, before we get to our guest Doug Poland, I want to take care of all the fine print first, and that includes thanking our hosts at Devil Radio, where you can tune in either at News Talk 92.7 or get the Devil Radio app, where you can listen to our show and all their shows on demand. On the weekends, you can catch us either on our website, upnorthpodcast.com, and all the usual places where you subscribe to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube by searching for Up North Podcast. You can also find the video version on the Facebook page of the Minocqua Brewing Company. You can reach us by email by writing to info@upnorthpodcast.com. And you can find the work that I do on a daily basis over at upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI, or search Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right. So I have the honor of introducing our next guest. His name is Doug Poland, and Doug works for the best new nonprofit in Wisconsin that I know of. It's called Law Forward. And these guys, like, are so essential to Wisconsin. It's unbelievable. They're a group of really awesome lawyers that have raised a bunch of money from people who care about democracy in Wisconsin to fight for democracy. So this organization are the ones that are fighting against the Republican majority's gerrymandered maps. So, if anybody's going to know the state of what's going on with Wisconsin gerrymandering, it's our guest, Doug Poland. So Doug was up. He told me earlier today when I asked him to be on the show, he was up until 2:30 a.m. yesterday, like, preparing fair maps. Like, when we've talked about fair maps for 10 years, like, this is a guy that helped draw the fair ones, or helped bring in all the information from people who cared about democracy to put these maps together. And they submitted it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, so we're gonna ask Doug what's going on. First of all, Doug, the Supreme Court, like, 2 weeks ago, gave us horrible news, and they said that they were going to start with the 10 year ago maps that the Republicans gerrymandered, which were pretty awful. So my question to you, it's a multi-part question, is can you update us what happened, like, today with the fair maps, since, you know, the Supreme Court dashed our hopes, you know, what you plan to do to try to fix stuff? And finally, is there any hope for Wisconsin to have fair maps, you know, in the next 10 years?
Of course there's hope. We have Doug on the case. Come on, Kirk.
What's the likelihood?
There's always hope, right? For those of us who've seen Rogue One, we know rebellions are built on hope, right? Well, Kirk, thanks for the introduction. I appreciate it. Just to make sure that that I clarify, I am not by any means a one-man show here. I'm actually a partner at a firm called Stafford Rosenbaum in Madison. I co-chair our election and political law team. I also have a position, a non-paid position, with Law Forward. So Stafford and Law Forward. And then we also have another tremendous partner called the Campaign Legal Center in Washington, D.C., who's co-counsel with us as well. They're working with us in the trenches on this case, too. Basically, 2 weeks ago, November 30th, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court released an opinion, and they said the criteria they're going to use to adopt new state legislative and congressional districts this year are going to start with what they call a least changes or least change approach. And so they want everybody to start with those districts that were adopted in 2011, slightly modified by a federal court in 2012, and then make the least change possible from those districts to account for the differences in population, the population change that's happened from 2010, when the census was taken, to 2020, when the most recent census was taken. So we're just going to shift population, and that's it. The reason that was such a blow, the reason that was so difficult, is that a least change approach, the way that they identified it, wouldn't take into account a number of things that we believe should be taken into account, like what we call partisan fairness. It does not mean proportional representation. It just means that we want to give political parties an equal opportunity or an equal chance to be able to win in any given district, meaning that if Republicans get 52% of the vote and that gives them 50% of the seats in the state assembly, then in the same election, if you draw the district in a fair way that has what we call partisan symmetry, if Democrats get 52% of the vote, then they should be able to get 50% of the seats in the assembly. But the way the districts were drawn in 2011 by the Republican-controlled assembly and Senate and signed into law by Governor Walker has an incredible asymmetry. So the Republicans need a much lower vote share statewide to get a majority of the assembly than the Democrats. So the Democrats have to win like 57% vote share statewide, even just to get 50 of the 99 assembly seats. So we wanted that to be taken into consideration. The Supreme Court said, nope, not going to do it. We're not going to look at partisanship, partisan impact of these maps at all. We're just not going to look at partisan fairness. And that was a disappointment.
So what's happening? So why were you up till 2:30 last night? Like what was this process? Yeah,
tell us about what the activity was, including, you know, Governor Evers submitted some maps today to the state Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could tell you that it was only one night that we were up that late, but we have a team of 11 lawyers and we have three expert witnesses and everybody has been cranking for 2 weeks now, getting ready for the filings today. So the state Supreme Court set a deadline for today, December 15th, for all nine of the parties to the state court case to submit proposed state legislative and congressional districts to the court, along with expert reports in support of those. This is incredibly sophisticated litigation. You need people who are academics, who are experts in this, to be able to say, to give testimony as to why these maps are the best maps. So the governor submitted proposed maps. My team submitted proposed maps for the parties that we represent. The state legislators submitted theirs. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty didn't actually submit maps, but they're supporting the legislatures. There are a whole bunch of different groups that submitted proposed districts to the court. Now what's going to happen is in 2 weeks, on December 30th, we're going to have replies. And so we're going to file new briefs with the state Supreme Court saying these are the problems with everybody else's maps and these are why ours are the best. And then on January 4th, we'll have the final word on it, where everybody will submit their final briefs. And the Supreme Court has reserved the week of January 18th to either hold a hearing or maybe even take some evidence and issue a ruling about the maps that it's going to adopt as the maps for Wisconsin for the next decade.
Okay, so Doug, we already have a sense, because we know what's, I mean, if anybody's lived in Wisconsin for the last 10 years, we've seen Supreme Court elections being bought and sold by Republicans, like flooding, outstate flooded money. We do have a Supreme Court where there is a majority of conservative judges or judges who have won election based on Republican money that's funded their elections, even though it's nonpartisan elections. They did rule that we're going to start with a previously gerrymandered map situation. So, I mean, give us your honest assessment of what the likelihood is for this kind of rigged conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court to choose your fair maps.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a word of hope here, because I am actually hopeful. So we haven't finished completely with our analysis of all the maps, but as we've done it so far, ours are really the best. Across the board, we beat everybody else on a whole lot of metrics. We've got the best compliance with the Voting Rights Act. We've got the highest what we call core retention. In other words, keeping districts essentially the same. We've got really the best maps for so many reasons. And so we said, we don't like what the Supreme Court said on November 30th, but look, that's what happens in law. The courts rule against you and you go with it and you do the best you can. So we played within the rules of what the state Supreme Court set out. And even playing within those rules, thanks to the talent that we have on our legal team and also our expert team, we came up with the best districts. And so if the Supreme Court takes everything at face value, and does what they said that they would do, they should choose our maps. Now, why is that actually okay? Well, it's okay because we want maps that ultimately are responsive to what the voters do. And so if we go back to 2002 and we look at the court-drawn maps in 2002, they actually had a pro-Republican tilt as well, about an 8% pro-Republican advantage. But remember, Democrats won total control of the Assembly and the Senate in 2008-2009. And so all we really need are maps where that are competitive, districts that are competitive. So even if there is a tilt, a pro-Republican tilt, and our maps have a pro-Republican tilt too, but the districts are competitive. And that means that it doesn't take a 57% statewide vote share for Democrats to actually tilt the playing field. And so the state Supreme Court should take our maps because they're objectively the best ones, and they would be much more competitive than the current districts.
Some of the discussion about the state Supreme Court centers on conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn, who has at times sided with the progressives in certain ways that essentially underscore that he is an old school conservative when it comes to like the letter of the law. And so there has been chatter, you know, Doug, that your maps might actually stand a better chance with somebody like Justice Hagedorn, who, while still a conservative, would still go with what actually makes the least change and still is a fair map. Then there's others who are like, no, Hagedorn is a conservative through and through. He, you know, this is not that kind of a case. Do you feel like this is the kind of case that could come down to a 4-3 vote either way?
Well, I think it's going to come down to a 4-3 vote. It almost certainly will. And, you know, Pat, I think that what we saw in that opinion a couple of weeks ago from the state Supreme Court, we had three justices who issued a majority opinion that was joined in what we call a concurrence by Justice Hagedorn. That means he agreed with the result, but he wrote a separate opinion, a concurring opinion, because he did have some different ideas. He has shown himself to be a little bit different than that other three justice block that tends to vote together.
The politicians, right.
And so this is what happens. And it's just like on the U.S. Supreme Court with Justice Roberts. Everybody goes after the swing vote. And this is what we do as lawyers. We present the best arguments that we can to that justice that we want to get and that we need to convince. Justice Hagedorn has shown himself to care about procedure and process and the court's integrity and its reputation. And so that's one of the reasons why we're hopeful, because we think that we have done the best job of conforming to what the court said it requires. And we think that we're taking Justice Hagedorn to face value, that he's going to give a lot of credence to what we've done.
Hey, Kirk, right. I know you want to ask about federal courts, but right before we leave the state Supreme Court, I want to clarify one thing. They're getting multiple maps submitted to them. They could pick any one of them, but they could also draw their own if they chose to, right? Or not?
Not practically, no. I mean, it's such a sophisticated and difficult thing to do. For them to draw their own maps would really require the state Supreme Court to get a separate independent expert. And some courts will do that. That's been done in Pennsylvania. It's been done some other places.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they'd gotten that or not, because again, anything they do, and this leads us over to Kirk, you know, there's still, you know, a federal dimension to this, Kirk.
Yeah. So Doug, I mean, I'm an idealistic and optimistic guy, but this is the first time I've heard any optimism about getting a fair ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I'm happy to hear that. My hope in my own head, because that's what I've been reading in the paper, is that the federal courts step in and say, what are you guys doing over at the Wisconsin Supreme Court? You've never done this before. How do you think you're equipped to decide on this? You've been giving it to the federal courts for a long time. Can you explain that history? We got 3 minutes left before the break, but you can explain that, the hope that I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course. So these cases have been decided in the federal courts in Wisconsin for the last 4 or 5 decades. And in August, we and a different group of plaintiffs filed federal claims in the federal court in Madison. And one of the claims that we filed is under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. That is a federal statute, right? And so it's kind of a basic premise of the court system, of the federal court system, is if I've got a claim, if I've got a right under federal law, like under the Voting Rights Act, I have a right to pursue that claim in federal court. There are a bunch of different legal principles out there that cause the federal court to say, you know what, we're gonna wait for the state Supreme Court to do what it's gonna do. But that case is still pending in federal court. And the federal court has reserved the week of January 31st for a trial. And so if the state Supreme Court's opinion that it comes out with when it decides on what the districts are going to be, if those districts don't comply with federal law, And, you know, we're specifically, to be clear, we're talking about the Voting Rights Act here. If those state Supreme Court drawn districts don't comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act, then we're back in federal court. And we're arguing to the federal court that we've got a trial on January 31st. We get to prove why the court should adopt our districts because it's necessary to comply with federal law. So that's what we're going to be doing.
So, I mean, really quick follow-up. I mean, you've got people that don't know where they live in a district yet, and they got to decide whether they're going to run for office. And the election's in 2022. Like, what's the drop-dead deadline for all this stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, for state legislative and congressional districts, it's really about April 10th, April 5th, April 10th, right around that time frame. The state, the federal court recognized that the date is really kind of March 1st from a practical standpoint, but it really is someplace either the beginning of March or the end of March, but it needs to be decided by then.
Yeah, because then you have to circulate the nominating petitions to even get on the ballot. And trust me, as the person who is probably the reason why the congressional districts are gerrymandered so that they could protect Sean Duffy from me back in 2012, I know a thing or two about trying to get these things done and find out what district you're in, because the good people of Stevens Point got quite the disruption 10 years ago, and we have to wait and see what happens to them for this next decade. So, Doug, thank you again so much, Doug Poland, for the update, and wish you all the best. We'll look forward to another update soon.
Well, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you having me on tonight.
Our pleasure. Hey, we will be back in a couple of minutes to wrap things up. You're up north. Speak, monkey, speak.
Speak, monkey, speak. Corruption.